You're welcome. Okay, and now I will share my screen. Here we go. Share. And then slideshow. Okay, so, okay, can you guys see that on the screen now?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so we're gonna step into part two of the presentation, which we're gonna talk about three of the four young and tender branches that were grafted elsewhere in the garden. These first three branches were removed from the dying main tree, and in Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14, verses 16 through 30, we learn about these particular three branches. And there's a little surprise along with that too. My interpretation of everything, of course, but I think it's pretty exciting. So let's go ahead and get started. All right, so in verse 16, is anyone not able to read today?
Well, I'm still trying to find a cop. Oh, you put it right there. I can read.
Okay.
Hey, don't call on me to read yet.
Don't? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I got two hands on the wheel.
Okay, good, good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I got one hand on the wheel, and I got the other hand. Okay, thank you. Not me yet. Okay, I'll let you know.
Sounds good. Okay, be safe. Safe there, JT. Okay, so... I will go ahead and read verse 16.
Okay.
It happened then that the Babylonians came, like branches of a wild olive tree, to be grafted among the nation of Israel. For how much the main branches that were beginning to dry up were destroyed by the fire, when the king of Babylon took captive many of the new and tender branches in order to graft them, according to the words of the Lord of the vineyard. And I will graft them whithersoever I will. For though the nation of Babylon will perish, as it were prophesied, the owner of the vineyard should preserve its fruit from the mixture of races that would occur between the Jews and the Gentiles. Therefore, they were captives of this nation to fulfill the purpose of the Lord of the vineyard, to take from among the nations of the earth some new and tender branches of the house of Jacob, and to graft them where it should be. Okay. So so in come the Babylonians, and there's King Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, which is the king of Babylon. And he took captive many of these new and tender branches so that they could be grafted and put in a place. Why? It's underlined right here, to preserve its fruit from the mixture of races. And so these young and tender branches were took captive. Let me see, do I talk about, okay, yeah, in my next slide here. So God sometimes uses wicked people to promote his purposes. Have you guys seen that before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Examples. Okay. And then also King Nebuchadnezzar, he eventually repents and he becomes a believer. So that's kind of exciting as well. We learn that in the Bible. Does anyone else have anything to say about verse 16 before we move?
Where's our surprise?
Oh, it's coming. It's towards
okay.
The end, though.
Second.
It's coming. All right.
Well, are we thinking then that it was people that he took?
Yes.
To save
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Those were some of the people that he took. Okay, so Jeannie, can you read verse 17?
I'm trying to pull it up. On your screen, I can't read the part where the little people are.
Where? Oh, what did you say on the last one?
No, like where your face is. It cuts off a couple sentences.
Oh, where my face is.
See all of it, yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, maybe that worked. And it came to pass in the days of those kings that Daniel, the servant of the Lord, became master of the magicians and astrologers from the east, and came to teach his princes and noble confederates and vassals, among whom were many Jews, which have passed their knowledge for your children, spreading from generation to generation their knowledge of astrology, even among the many synagogues that were erected in the land of the East. When then the Lord of the vineyard went to hide the natural branches of the good olive tree in the nethermost parts of the vineyard, some in one part, others in another, spreading these apprentices of the wisdom of Daniel the prophet, according to his pleasure and will.
Thank you. So we're talking specifically about Daniel here, and he is the servant, and he also becomes the master of the magician astrologers from the East. Okay, and he started to teach. So we're going to learn that he started these wisdom schools, and some of the things that he taught was astrology. Okay, and these wisdom schools continued to teach. So it says, and they were spreading these apprentices of the wisdom of Daniel according to his pleasure and will. So Daniel obviously was very knowledgeable. He had to have been a pretty humble, amazing person. And he was able to start these schools that started to train about astrology and knowledge that we needed. And we're going to find out why soon, why this was particularly important. So we're going to go to the next one. And Darla, can you read 18?
Yes. And it came to pass that a long time went by, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, come, let us go into the vineyard to work on it. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and also the servant went down into the vineyard to work. It was when the words of Isaiah, both recited and researched in the East, were fulfilled through teaching propagated by Belshazzar in the wisdom schools of Babylon, where they studied the scriptures with all the peoples in the relation to the future descendant, and up until even among the instructed rabbis of Hebrew, of the Hebrew people in their respective synagogues in the distant lands of Israel.
Okay. So this, it says in the first part, a long time went by. So this is many years, like many, many years. Okay. So Belteshazzar is actually another name for Daniel. I think Belteshazzar was the given name that Daniel was given by King Nebuchadnezzar, I believe. Hopefully I'm getting my thoughts correct. But so these schools kept going to teach people, and they studied the scriptures in these wisdom schools. And why? It's so that the people or these students could learn about the future descendant. And so this future descendant, does anyone know who this future descendant is that they were studying about?
Abraham?
Nope. It's sometimes it's called the promise descendant, or it's
the promised Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Messiah.
Yeah. So the future descendant is Messiah. And so these schools were all taught, all started and perpetuated to teach about the Messiah, to teach about the signs that would come around the birth of Jesus Christ. And so even though Jerusalem was a long ways away, they still want, you know, God had a plan, and he wanted these schools to be teaching people so that they would know to look for the Messiah. Okay, so we're going to go to the next one. And this is, yeah, this is it right here, 19, which had been grafted into the wild tree. And for this reason, they learned to map the heavens so that they could identify that star that had been foretold by the prophets that does not belong to the starry skies, for how much its manifestation in the night sky would foreshadow the birth of the promised descendant among the men on earth. So these wisdom astrology schools. It's all about Jesus Christ. And there's going to be students in these schools that we're going to learn about who they are. So this is, I think, hundreds of years later. Okay, so these schools went on for hundreds of years. Okay, I don't know, is it Jeannie's turn to read again? I think verse 20.
Okay, as a side note, before we continue, John Pratt told me one time when we were sitting around talking, how he became an astrologer. He had always
astronomer.
Astronomer. Okay. And maybe Darla and Lisa, you know this, but he had always loved the stars and everything. And he came to a point in his life where he didn't know if he should continue studying and become a doctorate of it or do something different. And he prayed about it. And one of the reasons he was asking was because at one point he wasn't sure that knowledge was going to be helpful to him in the future. And so when he prayed about it, he got the word from God that, yes, he was supposed to finish. He still didn't know what was going to come with that knowledge. But I think everything that he learned definitely had a purpose in all of his writings and articles and teachings to us. So I'm really excited that he kept on and got his doctorate anyway.
Right. So he basically, he didn't start a school, but I would say he was definitely a student in something similar. He studied the stars and the sky, and he was able to learn about the sacred calendars and basically prove that God exists through the stars and through the calendars and stuff. So that's his work, definitely is so important. And I believe it's the same type of things that were taught in these wisdom schools that Daniel perpetuated. Yes. And whether you call it astronomy or astrology, it's the true astronomy. Like this says astrology, but we know it's not just, silly, goofy today's astrology. But Darla, you're going to say something?
Yeah, it's fascinating because as I started reading it and heard the word astrology, I thought, I wonder if Mauricio in his translation understands the difference and use that word for a wise purpose, astrology instead of astronomy. But John had said that when he got his doctorates, like, part of their oath is to never, ever, 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 ever think that there was anything to astrology. it was kind of like their own language, that the astronomy is what is valid. Astrology is woo-woo. And as John continued to progress and the things that we saw when we went on our little trips to the stars and whatnot, he saw where astrology had its place and that the way that the planets move and the planetary pulls and the way the moon has certain things that it governs over the planet, making the oceans tide come in and out, women's menstruation cycle. So it was just kind of a fun tangent that opened John's eyes to some other factors of what the planets and a deeper understanding of astronomy even further than what he had been taught in school. So that was a fun side note.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Darla.
I like that.
I'd like to add on to that comment.
Please.
If that's okay.
Of course.
Continuing sort of in the words of Darla, I would have to say that, they teach you that, or they teach us not to look into astrology or, they put a bad rap on it. But yet, they've also taught us not to look into magicians. But right now, we're reading about a holy man that was considered a magician. So the things that we've been told not to understand have been twisted and we've been told to stay away from it, but these are the very things that people in secret combinations look at, because God created everything, and everything has a purpose. Every star has its purpose in the season. Not to say that we jump all into that right now. I don't think that's a wise thing to do. But there is a lot of truth that has been hidden that is starting to be unlocked. And that is the end of my comment.
Thank you, JT.
Thank you.
Very good comment.
Yes.
You know, and with everything, I think if we do what Grandpa Pratt did and pray about it, we're going to be guided. You know, we can just pray that we'll be guided to know what to study, what not to study. I think, thank you. That's wonderful. Okay, verse 20. Wait.
Hey, I have to hop off for a second and I'll try to get right back on. I'm so sorry to leave you. Just wanted to apologize.
Hey, okay. No worries, Darla.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
verse 20.
Okay.
These then were the natural branches of the good olive tree in a foreign land. And so did these branches of the olive tree that were brought and grafted into the good olive tree all have borne fruit in their respective station and have mingled together.
Okay, so the branches, Daniel and his friends were taken away, but now there's going to be some branches or some people many, many years later that are going to be grafted back into the good olive tree that are going to come back to Jerusalem, okay, and be grafted into that good olive tree. And they're good people. So one of the reasons why God took Daniel away from Jerusalem at that time is because that tree was, remember, the tree was shrinking and there were no good leaders to lead and teach righteousness. So I think if you think about this, Daniel and his friends were preserved. They got thrown into this wicked Babylon and had to really rely on God and get the true teaching from God instead of through these perhaps wicked prophets or, you know, people in this decrepit, decaying olive tree. So now they've been taught and trained well, and they're going to be coming back. So let's keep going here. Okay, I'll read 21.
And so I'm sorry, Lisa.
Yes.
So go back to verse 20. When you think about it, the last part that says all have borne fruit in their respective station and have mingled together. So if we think about where the three branches of the church, which came after the martyr, when Joseph was killed, every one of them have borne fruit. They've all done good in their respective station in what the Lord probably was needing to have happen. So he let that happen. He grafted them and they all produced a purpose. And then, I don't know, you know, have mingled together maybe goes along with what's happening right now. I'm just trying to go from the tree situation to the people situation. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to learn about that a little bit in the next few verses. So, yeah, excellent. Thank you. So, after a long time, a child is born in the land of Jerusalem, as prophesied by the ancient prophets in the city of Bethlehem. And the people that walked in darkness saw a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, yea, in the land of the east, the light of the morning shone upon them, proclaiming the coming of him that would be called by the name of Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, who is this child?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. Okay, so Jesus was born. So remember Daniel and them, that was like 600 years prior. Now it's the time of Christ's birth. And because of this new star, everyone saw it. You know, the people in Jerusalem saw the new star if they were looking, and I don't know that they really were, but these people in the wisdom schools that were planted in the East, they were paying attention and they knew that Christ was born. So we're going to keep going here. Okay, 22. Jeannie, do you want to read 22?
Okay. And guided by this light was that the astrologers of the Orient took the way to the land of Israel, where the throne of David is set, as it prophesies, in search of the land of Naphtali, in the way of the Jordan, Galilee of the nations.
Okay. So because these men had studied the scriptures, they knew where Christ was going to be born. And so they followed the light, these astrologers, magician astrologers of the Orient, and they followed the light to the land of Naphtali, to Bethlehem. Yeah, so let's keep going. I forget whose turn is it. Is it your turn again, Gigi?
I think so, until more people. Okay. Then,
JT, go ahead.
Hey, I was gonna say I could pitch in. It sounds like you guys are getting tired. Okay, verse 23, and it reads, then the fruit of the branches that came out of the wild olive tree. Wait a minute, am I reading that right? Let me start over. Verse 23, then the fruit of the branches that came out of the wild olive tree and were attentive to the signs of every season, whose branches were scattered throughout the region of the east, and the Lord of the vineyard saw that they were good branches, and its fruit, that is, the sentiments of the Jews born in the east and educated in the synagogues of that region, according to the teachings of the prophets, were similar to the fruits of the Jews of the land of Israel, that is, the natural feelings. Stop.
Thank you. So I've highlighted a few things here. So these good branches, or these good people who were following the signs, right? They had these fruits, or these good sentiments. They had these good feelings of, I don't know, I guess it's just the righteous good feelings of the Jews. They had the true feelings of the Jews in the land of Israel, the natural feelings. So they were good people. Even though they had been grown up in a different place, they were still Jewish. They were still taught taught to know the Messiah. And they are similar in the same feelings as those that were actually born in Jerusalem. Okay.
It's kind of like today, when it should be kind of waking the eyes of the LDS church that the other two branches that broke off when Joseph was killed, the sentiments and the natural feelings. I mean, it's like, are they surprised that other people have these feelings? You know, or do they just think they're perfect and everybody else is wrong? I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think there is a lot of good. And if we focus on that good and focus on our similarities and the natural feelings and trying to fear God and love God, I think eventually we'll be united. So that's a good analogy as well. So verse 24.
All right, I'll read.
Okay.
All right.
For this season, They were easy to mix amongst their brethren in the land of their ancestors, for they absorbed the moisture of its root, so that its root produced much strength. And because of the great strength of the root, the grafted branches produced good fruits, so that they could be grafted again into the good olive tree. That is, that couldn't mix without being aware of the difference between one and the other. Stop.
Thank you. So these master astrologer magicians are going to go back to Jerusalem and be able to mix in because they have been taught from God. And so people are not going to really, you know, they're just going to fit in and fit back into that good olive tree, go back to Jerusalem. Okay, 25.
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeannie.
And it came to pass that the servant said unto his master, how art thou come to plant here this tree or this branch of the tree? For behold, the east was the lowest and unproductive part of all the land of your vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto him, give me no counsel. I knew it was an unproductive piece of land. So I told you that I have treated this first tree all this time. And you see that it produced many fruits. Gather them, therefore, and keep them for the proper season, that I may bring them unto me.
Okay. So it gets a little bit complicated here, but we know that the servant's like, why did you put these branches out in the middle of nowhere in this terrible unproductive land? But the Lord of the vineyard had a plan. And one of that is in this last verse, that I may bring them unto me. Okay, the last little section, that I may bring them unto me. This is the plan he had all along, was to separate these branches, these people, train them in the right way, and bring them back unto him. Okay, so keep that in mind, that I may bring them unto me. All right, so 26. I think it's my turn. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, look here. See that I have also planted another branch, yea, a second branch in this tree of this unproductive land of the east. And you know that this piece of land was more unproductive than the first. But look at that tree. Look at the tree. Behold, I have dealt with her all this time, and she bore many fruits. Gather them also and keep them for a due season. Why? That I may preserve them for myself. Okay, so this is talking about the second branch. Now, I know Grandpa Pratt or John P. Pratt has an article that actually says where each branch is planted, and I haven't refreshed myself on that, and so I'm not going to get into that at all. That's a little more deeper than this presentation, but each branch, just know that they're in the east, you know, somewhere far away from Jerusalem. But it says that I may preserve them for myself. So there's a reason why the Lord is doing this. Okay. Verse 27. JT, are you able to read verse 27?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're not driving.
As long as I'm not driving, yep. Long as I'm not driving. Okay. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard spake again unto his servant. Look here and see another branch which I have planted, yea, a third of the Orient. And behold, I have dealt with him also and brought forth good fruit. And of these three branches, I will bring those who serve me. Stop.
Okay, thank you. So here's the third of the branch, these three branches planted in the Orient. Why? I will bring those who serve me. This is all part of the plan. Christ has planted these three people so that they will come to him and they will serve him. Okay. All right. 28. Jeannie?
Okay. And from these three productive branches, coming from the unproductive land from which the Lord of the vineyard mentioned to his servant, came Jews from the schools that mapped the stars in order to accompany the development of this boy who was born in Bethlehem in the land of Jerusalem.
Okay. Let's think about this. We've got these three branches that came from the schools that mapped the stars in order, and why this is important here in yellow, in order to accompany the development of this boy who was born in Bethlehem in the land of Jerusalem. Okay, so we've got these three branches, these three productive branches, good people, good sentiments, gonna be brought to help the boy who was born in Bethlehem, to help Jesus, to accompany the development, to help him grow. Okay, so this is all for a purpose. All right. All right. So we have these three productive branches from the star schools to help Christ's development. Who were these three men? Dun, dun, dun. Verse 29 tells us. Okay. So I'll go ahead and I'll just read this one. Being the first of these three, Bunai, noble rabbi over the synagogues of Greece, which caused him to be accepted into the sect of the Pharisees in Jerusalem, where he had established his residence from my birth until the days of my resurrection, and among the natural Jews of the good olive tree, he mixed with the name of Nicodemus. Okay, so he grew up as Bunai. He was brought to the land of Jerusalem to accompany Christ. His name was Nicodemus. All right. So we know that's one of Jesus's very good friends. We learn that in the scriptures, that Nicodemus was one of Jesus's very good friends. Wait, no, we don't learn that. He was the Jewish one. That we don't know this. This is crazy. We don't know very much about Nicodemus, but in this scripture from the sealed book, we learned that he was brought here for a reason, exactly to help Christ. Okay. So Nicodemus. All right. I've got a little note here from Greece. And I don't know, maybe my places are not exactly right according to Grandpa Pratt, but this is what I came up with. So he became a Pharisee. And he mixed with the name of Nicodemus. So we know about Nicodemus, right? Let me read the scriptures. Okay, so let's go to the next one. The second, known as Joseph, Jewish born in Rome and appointed magistrate in the land of Judea, with powers derived from a judge over the city of Arimathea, which was situated 3 hours northwest of Jerusalem, where he was a member of the Sanhedrin, but my particular disciple. Okay, so the second man is Joseph. And it says he was a judge over the city of Arimathea. And so you'll recognize that Joseph of Arimathea was the second magician astrologer that was brought to Jerusalem. Okay. So he was a Sanhedrin. Okay. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So that's the second branch. Okay. And then the third noble merchant of the region of Antioch, he preferred to stay away from the leaven of the Pharisees in Bethany under the name of Lazarus. So I got him confused. Lazarus is the one that the scriptures say was a really dear friend unto Jesus his whole life. And so he wanted to kind of stay away from the leaven, or stay away from the wickedness of the Pharisees. Okay. So I guess Nicodemus was more willing to mix and be with the Pharisees, but Lazarus, he's like, I don't want to have any part of this. I'm going to hang out in Bethany. And so Lazarus, he was a noble merchant from Antioch. Okay. And he also came to Jerusalem to be with Jesus. Okay. that, so this is the surprise that I was talking about at the beginning. We have Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and Lazarus, all right? So, verse 30. These were the three branches from the wild olive tree planted in the lowlands of the Orient and were great friends from the beginning to the end of my journey on the earth of their ancestors. So, these three branches, these three men brought to Jerusalem, it says they were great friends from the beginning of his life to the end of his journey, okay? We're gonna go back to verse 28, where it says, and from these productive branches coming from the unproductive land from which the Lord of the vineyard mentioned to his servant, came Jews from the schools that map the stars in order to accompany the development of this boy who was born in Bethlehem in the land of Jerusalem, okay? And then in 25, it said that I may bring them unto me. 26 said that I may preserve them for myself. 27 said I will bring those who will serve me. So Christ has brought these three people to help develop him. Why? And I don't know. I think if Christ had to go, this is my just thoughts. If Christ had to go through the veil of forgetfulness, just like every single other person that is born on this earth, he's going to need people to help guide him and direct him and tell him who he is. Now, that's my own personal opinion, okay? But he set it up. He's like, I'm going to set this up right. And have these wonderful people that are going to help me. So we have Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and Lazarus. And in my opinion, these are the three wise men. Okay, these are the three wise men that knew he was coming, that went. So it's a question. Are these the three wise men? And we can open up for discussion if you want. But I know in the scriptures it says that the wise men came and then they left and went back home. And I thought in my mind, how are we doing on time? Jeannie, what time is it? I don't have a time on my screen.
Gotta look it up.
A
weird spot.
11 o'clock. Okay. Wait, 11? Oh, okay. That's right. We've been gone about an hour. Okay, perfect, because we're almost done. Okay, so in my mind, I'm like, well, what does it mean they left? They came and then they left. I'm going to go ahead and actually exit out of the screen share. Stop share. Okay. Okay. So in my mind, let's say I'm one of the three wise men. I've been studying, I've been learning about the stars. Let's say I'm Nicodemus or whatever. And I see the star and I travel to Jerusalem and I see the baby Jesus. And then I'm like, he needs help. Maybe he doesn't know who he is. I can help him. So he goes back home, gathers his family, whatever, and comes back to Jerusalem to help raise Christ, help tutor and help the development. And so that's in my mind what happened is they all came and they realized, oh, it's a baby, yes. And then they went back home and then came back to live. So Lazarus and Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea positioned themselves very closely in Jerusalem and the places so that they could train him up. That, like I said, this is my interpretation, but to me, after studying this, it's very clear that that's who these people are. But thoughts? I'm sure you have a different opinion, and I'm open to that too, but it's kind of exciting to think about.
Lisa?
Yes.
You are completely wrong. I'm kidding.
That's fine. I'm okay. I'm trying to be humble and teachable, so.
No, I'm kidding. I believe these were the three magi. The context points to that. They followed the star. They went to Bethlehem. It's three of them. You see each character play out in the Gospels. Lazarus is really close to Jesus, but we never really knew who he was besides the information they gave us. The whole Joseph of Arimathea is starting to make sense, you know. So we're getting we're getting a lot of context about who these guys were, and it would make sense that they came to develop him, not only because they had the wisdom of the schools that they were taught, but that, I mean, that wisdom also told them who to look for. So, you know, it would make sense that they would teach him what it is that he needed to know about, you know, how the universe works and how that related to him, his mission, his goal. And it does say in the Bible that they left. Once they came to Bethlehem, they left because of Herod. Herod was out trying to hurt everybody. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, the angel told Jesus' family, go to Egypt.
Right.
So if they went back to their country, the three wise men, and Jesus went to Egypt with his parents, you know, it would make sense that they would go back, but they would probably come back afterwards, after Jesus comes back to his land, and they probably were notified by an angel or, you know, divine inspiration to come back to the land. But mm-hmm. I think that part of them leaving would make sense because Jesus would be gone. Because Herod was out searching for these folks, anybody related to him.
Yeah.
So of course it would be wise for them to hide. You know, they're three wise men. They kind of look different, probably. You could tell when somebody's not from your country. You know, they might have the same customs, but you could tell when somebody's not of you. So
okay,
you're probably going to look for them. But that's what the scripture says, that they went back because Herod was out looking for folks. And Jesus left around the same time. So I think that would make sense of that reasoning as to why they left, in my personal opinion. But I do agree that these were the three wise men. Who else could they be?
Yeah, yeah. I know we get a different interpretation in about Nicodemus. That's one that's a little more less believable, just because we have in our mind something else, you know, and it could be some of those things have been removed from the Bible. We know the Bible is not complete. Over the years, it has been doctored, you know, and that could be one of the things that was taken out, you know, a closer relationship than we see. But it makes sense because, you know, Jesus is going to be teaching these people as well as they're teaching him. You know, there's going to be this, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a teaching that, you know, as he comes to know things, he's going to be able to teach them and guide them along as well. So, awesome. Well, hey, we made it up to verse 30, and that wraps up this little section about these three branches, which is so exciting. It took me a long time to study this, to put all these pieces together and read it and figure out who were, what is this really saying? So thank you. It's grateful to have that also validated, JT, because I know you read and study too. So Jeannie, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. We've read that verse, that part of that chapter in the sealed book of his friends, who they were, but I didn't put that together, and it does make sense. There is a lot of symbolism with the number three throughout the entire Bible, in a lot of things that we look at, and it certainly makes sense that the three wise men would have gone to protect the whole situation. But then why do we never hear of them? And they were so drawn to follow the stars to find this babe. It doesn't make sense they would just give up and go away and do nothing. So whether they watched from afar or they were his closest friend, I like the word development. It's not that they were teaching him, because Jesus was God and knew everything, but helped with the development, so the guidance and maybe structure allowed, or just asking Jesus a question would allow him to search out, and they would kind of and give him the teaching qualities that he was going to need when he got older. It's awesome. I think it's great. I love the idea.
Also, like if you look, the three men, they probably taught him all different things, like, you know, the Sanhedrin versus the Pharisees versus a merchant, you know, getting those different perspectives also helped maybe help him develop and round him out as a human being. Not that he needed help with that, you know, because he was perfect, but that was the purpose. He planned it that way.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
And it also, you know, pulls together the fact that God is going to choose his group of people from across the whole earth and bring them together. His promised people will be chosen and brought to him.
Yeah. Yeah. He has that ability. And I think he is continuing to speak to people and guide them and all over the place, you know, where they're, you know, we know they're prophets everywhere right now, and people doing good and reaching out and following that Holy Spirit to guide them in what they're studying, and it's very exciting. Okay, well, I'm gonna stop the recording. That wraps it up. Thank you so much for your comments.